All right. Well, we've got a great guest for us today. It is Doug Greenwald. Doug, first of all, nice to have you here, and congratulations on a good year at Fresno with the Grizzlies.
Marty and Patrick, thank you for having me. Very exciting year indeed. Obviously, you're a change down there with the Giants moving the AAA to Sacramento, but one thing with the staff with the Grizzlies, we knew getting the Astros that you heard so much about a deep farm system, and it showed. You're seeing what's taking place right now at the major leagues with Houston, and all seven of their minor league affiliates made the playoffs.
Well, congratulations on it. You broadcast a game that declared the Fresno Grizzlies the champions of the AAA world.
It's a one-game, nationally sponsored, you can't really call it series, I guess, but championship game where the International League champion, the Columbus Clippers, the Indians AAA, and Fresno got together in, of all places, El Paso, because it's at a different site every year. Okay. It's at a different AAA stadium. It's kind of like the Super Bowl. It's a designated site. So it's essentially a chance for all 30 executives of the AAA teams to go and party. But there is a game that is played, and Fresno won that one game.
I got to know which fan base traveled with more gusto and enthusiasm. Or was it all El Paso residents?
I'm going to say, well, there are a lot of El Paso residents, but Columbus took a charter flight in.
Wow.
I've never been to Columbus, but I'm guessing there's not that every hour on the hour flight from Columbus to El Paso. So obviously a lot of their front office came. But I tell you what, a lot of our front office from Fresno came as well. So I think there was a lot of oomph on both sides.
Good.
Doug Greenwald with us. Hey, Eddie Montague, there he is. Eddie Montague, our umpire, we give him a boo.
Go ahead, guys.
Boo.
No, give him
no
a hearty boo.
No, boo, boo. There we go. It's tradition. It's tradition. All right. Sit down, Eddie. We'll talk to you as well here. All right. But the traveling, they're still booing Eddie. They're still booing him.
Nice.
All right. The travel was interesting because you had a game to win the PCL championship. You didn't have much turnaround time, and you had to get to El Paso. This is the story of AAA baseball.
Exactly. So the Grizzlies and the Round Rock Express, the Rangers AAA, go to a decisive Game 5 2 weeks ago. The winner not only wins the PCL, but then goes on to play in that one-game national championship. So your prize for winning the Pacific Coast League on a Sunday afternoon, be back at the ballpark at 1:30 in the morning, bus 2.5 hours to the San Jose airport, and get a 6:30 a.m. flight through Phoenix to El Paso because the teams each had to be in mid-afternoon for press conferences and workouts. So that was your prize. Congrats on winning the PCL. We'll see in about another 8 hours back here in the middle of the night. Well worth it, though.
Ugly. Hey, Doug, congratulations one more time. But I got to ask you, your lifelong connection to the San Francisco Giants, was it Freaky Friday? Was it weird when all of a sudden now you're affiliated with the Astros?
Very Freaky Friday and Freaky Thursday and Freaky Wednesday,
okay.
too.
Okay.
You know, it was one of those last year, you heard the rumors circulating the Giants were likely going to be taking AAA to Sacramento. So Fresno, I think we had a good idea knowing that it was going to be a new affiliate. And, the Astros ended up there. And it was strange. I think throughout the winter, you know, your wintertime routine is the same. But then you get there and you look in the clubhouse and there's Lone Stars around and there's a brighter shade of orange. And now it's the designated hitter every night since the Astros are in the American League. So even though it was announced in mid-September, it was still a huge adjustment. I don't think just for Fresno fans, but personally, it's an organization that, you know, the Giants and Astros played for many years against each other. But recently, there's no more, not that you'd ever really call it a rivalry, but no more get-togethers as much. I know they played this year, but generally speaking, they're not going to play much anymore against each other. So it's an organization I didn't really know much about, to be honest with you, other than knowing that they had Carlos Correa and Mark Appel and John Singleton and Preston Tucker and guys like that have gone up to the big league. Appel hasn't yet, but you had to learn a whole new farm system, so it was a Freaky Friday.
Okay.
Doug Greenwald with us. Doug, of course, the voice of the Giants and the Internet for all the spring training games in Scottsdale. It was a pleasure to see you down there. But your dad, Hank Greenwald, what was it like growing up with Hank Greenwald, the voice of the Giants? Now, you're not that old, but you're old. And being part of that and then listening to your dad, you sound just like him on the radio. He's here in the press box today. Eddie, Hank is here today. But what was it like growing up the son of Hank Greenwald?
Well, I always tell people that when people, folks would come up to me and say, boy, Doug, you know, I love listening to your dad. I'll say, yeah, but, you know, you could always turn him off or switch the station. I couldn't. If you know, if he starts getting on me, I couldn't do that. You know what? I mean, it was one of those where my life was Candlestick Park as a youth. And I guess Ed Montague could relate to a sense, you know, with his dad being in the game associated with the Giants. It was, I'll admit, and I use the word kind of a spoiled lifestyle growing up because I got exposed to seeing what a major league broadcast booth was like every day and seeing what life was like in a major league clubhouse and a major league ballpark. And it was a lot of fun. You know, most kids don't really tag along with dad to work, but my dad had a different kind of job. So in a way, it was unique. As I said, a lot of fun, not just to hang out with him, but to get to know a lot of the other broadcasters.
Doug, were you ever tempted, as most kids are, to be rebellious and to find their own path? Did you ever say, I want to be a broadcaster, but I want to go totally different than my old man? I want to do it in a different way?
I want to be a fireman.
Well, even within the broadcast game, did you want to kind of do a different style or anything like that?
I don't know. I guess the style I just might have been born with or just came naturally. Okay. My dad was the one that tried to talk me out of going into broadcast. Why do you want to go into broadcasting? You know, go into something else. I guess you could say it was influenced by him, but not influenced by him. I think it's just from age five. You know, his first year with the Giants was 1979. I was 5 years old then, and you're exposed to going to the ballpark at an early age. And I tell people that the times that the Giants might have had a 10-game road trip, that's usually when Mom would make the road trip and Mom and Dad would ship me off to summer camp for those 10 days to 2 weeks. I mean, what is Mother Nature? My idea of grass is hanging out at Candlestick or seeing the natural dirt was around second base. So that's to what I was used to.
Cool. Did you have a favorite player growing up?
I could give you a standard answer and say they were all my favorites, but I think different eras of guys that were my favorites. I mean, some of the guys that, again, in 1979, 1980, Vita Blue was probably my first favorite. You know, you grow up getting no Vita, Jack Clark, Terry Whitfield, that group of guys. And then that translated into the early to mid-80s, a guy I always liked, and may rest in peace, Dave Bergman, always a class act, passed away within the last year. But a guy that played hard, was a good Giant, went on to play with the Tigers later, was always a favorite. And then you guys like Dan Gladden, Dwayne Kuiper, obviously, that group of the early 80s, Chili, Brindley. I mean, I know it doesn't give you one answer, but that funnels into Robbie and Will. But it was just different eras of Giants to whom I really enjoyed. And then obviously the 89 team, you could almost pick whoever you wanted from that group. But I would say if I had to give you one answer, a guy that if I had to look back at who was my first favorite and a guy that's still one of my favorites, I'd say Vita Blue.
All right, Doug Greenwald with us. Now, when you broadcast and you watch a pitcher work and the ball is, you think a strike and they call it a ball, do you go, boy, how did he miss that one? That looked like a strike to me.
And by the way, when I say Kipe and Krug, that whole era, let me make that clear, too. But go ahead to the balls and strikes.
Yes.
We get back on
track here. Don't worry about Krug and Kipe. They got enough publicity.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You're broadcasting, and a pitch comes in, and they call it a ball, and you think it's a strike. You one of those announcers that, gee, how did he miss that one? That looked like it was right on the corner.
There are times where I've said that where I'll be the umpire. I say, drops it nicely for a – I only called it a ball. it'll happen maybe I look at the umpire, and it's the old expression, the stee ball, or the umpire will flinch a little bit. We do have a replay up in Fresno so I can look at the pitch. But generally speaking, I leave that to the umpires. But from the naked eye, when it literally happens, there are times where I'll say I'll say, well, I'm not sure where that one missed. It doesn't mean I'm necessarily debating it, but it might look like a strike. And
Eddie says
and
that's
I'll,
fair.
And I'll say it for both sides.
Eddie says, did you ever flinch?
Marty's trying to bait for everybody at home right now. Marty's Montague, trying to bait these two guys.
Eddie Montague.
No, will I say it? Sure. Absolutely, I'll say it, yes.
All right. I just want to know you'll take a stand on that. All right. Great to have you with us. Now, a couple of players are up here. You had at Fresno last year. Jared Parker, you know well. Mm-hmm. Heston, you know well. I guess it's nice to see them do well.
Oh, great, great people. Chris Heston, again, in a year that the Giants, obviously, a bit disappointing not getting in the postseason, but the positives, the guys that came through Fresno, Chris Heston, absolutely. And here's a guy, Marty, that I know we always talk in spring training, let's paint the picture. He was not in the picture in spring training. Obviously, with injuries, that has been a bright spot for Chris Heston to have double digits in wins, a no-hitter, and really picked up the pace early in the year when guys like Kane and Peavy were out. Guy that's gone through a lot. I mean, he had some elbow surgery. He was taken off the 40-man roster. Really wasn't on the depth chart. Even at Fresno, I mean, he had other guys that were mentioned. But, no, Chris Heston has been a bright spot. And, obviously, Jared Parker, Guy that really had a lot more downs, I thought, in the big leagues in terms of, because he would strike out a lot, but does have a lot of power. You saw in the Oakland series, you've seen it a little bit here this year. So it'll be fun to see where his career goes now.
Now, wintertime, I know you've done some basketball, but you're someone that travels around the country. And Eddie says your picture is up in every post office in the United States, or you take pictures of post offices. I wasn't sure what he meant by that.
A little of both, I think.
Okay. A lot of pictures from different towns.
Yeah, really? Every time you go to a town, you send a picture of a post office.
I do. Well,
now, you know, they're closing a lot of post offices.
That's why I'm taking those pictures. You might as well get them right now. Okay. You know, it's a fun way to chronicle the country, I think, because a lot of the small towns have their own personalities, and just about every town in America has got a post office, and some have been up since 1910. Some are new, but it's as I said, kind of a neat way to
to
follow the map. The one in Florida, Okeechobee, I think it's the one.
Lake Okeechobee. I know.
I might have the name of the town mixed up with another. It's a Native American Indians sounding town down there, but
Pascagoula.
It's down by the Everglades on the western coast, and it's got the smallest post office in the world.
Really?
Is what it is, or at least in America. It's a little hut. That's all it is. It's almost like a ticket window. You know, you go up and it's you know, it's a one person post office. So.
This is what you have to know when you're broadcasting. You got to be prepared in a 21-5 game to come up with some stories.
You do, yeah. Absolutely.
Let me ask Doug this: is since you know you travel to these smaller towns and everything, do you have a favorite AAA? Community or ballpark or anything like that?
Memphis. Absolutely. Memphis.
I've been there. Home of the Redbirds.
Yes. Cardinals AAA.
The
that
Chicks.
Ballpark is absolutely beautiful.
Are they not the Memphis Chicks anymore?
Well, not anymore. They're the Redbirds now.
Okay. I saw the Iowa Cubs take on the Memphis Redbirds one time in Memphis, and then I walked up and down Beale Street way too long.
So have I, actually. But
if you know what I mean.
No, the ballpark is right in downtown, and Beale Street's right there. The hotel is right there. Everything, the arena where the Memphis Grizzlies play, everything's all within a three-block radius of Memphis. And the ballpark, it was one of the first minor league ballparks that had the upper deck. Huge broadcast booth, great tradition in Memphis. And by the way, the barbecue's good, too.
Yeah. And, Marty, you'll be pleased to know they play with all the great music that's come out of Memphis. I mean, we go on all day, Stack Sound Studio and all that. They play that guy Mark Cohn, Walking in Memphis, on loop over and over and over
and
again.
And I listen to that song when I'm in Memphis and I walk to the ballpark. I was listening to it one night. I forgot my earpiece or my earphones. So I was just listening to it, you know, just without it. And some other person walking right by me had that same tune on as well. So it's a good tune.
Sound like the USC song.
They just keep playing. That's right,
All right, we're good. Doug, nice to have you.
Marty, Patrick, thank you very much.
Barry, and we'll see you, obviously, in Scottsdale and look forward to seeing you
Look forward to it as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
The voice of the world champion, Fresno Grizzlies. All right.